family and friends, when we first became a Christian, there are three things that most folks do when they first become a Christian. First, they tell all the ones who mean the most to them they got saved. Second thing they do is they get baptized. And then the third thing they do is they purchase a Bible. But there's also one other thing I've discovered in my time in ministry that approximately 95% of new Christians do. They take that new Bible they just purchased and they open it up to the very last book, Revelation, so they can find out the answers to Jesus' return. And if that describes you, then this is a night you may have been waiting for, because tonight we're going to take a peek into the end times. This is week 13 in the series of messages of what it means to be rooted and grounded in Christ. And these messages have been all about discovering the basics of our Christian faith. And so tonight here on Digging Deeper, we're going to be looking into God's Word and discover God's answer to this question: what will happen when Jesus returns? Tonight I'm going to be reading from John, the 14th chapter. I'm going to begin in verse 1, and you follow along as I read. God's Word says to us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Oh, Father, we just thank you for another Saturday evening here on Digging Deeper. We thank you for the opportunity that this ministry has provided for Green Valley Baptist Church and all of those behind the scenes who are associated with it. Lord, our great desire is to see men and women and children come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to see folks growing in their faith in Christ, to see people become a Bible-believing follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, would you encourage us tonight through your word as we seek to discover the answer to the question, what will happen when Jesus returns? In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the text I read, Jesus says very clearly, "I am coming again." So our Christian belief is based upon the fact that God always honors his word. Jesus told his disciples, "I am coming back." But Jesus also told them that he would send a comforter, his Holy Spirit, to seal them. And so it's only natural for folks to get upset when someone they love leaves them. That's why Jesus told his disciples, "You don't, boys, you don't need to be upset, because I'm coming back." And Paul, writing under the inspiration of his Holy Spirit, penned God's word to his church regarding the loss of our loved ones. Listen to this beautiful text. Paul writes, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Jesus assured his disciples and us today that he is coming back to take us to be with him. And because Jesus says he is coming back, friend, we can count on it. Jesus is coming back. But no one knows the exact date or the exact day or the exact time or the exact hour when Jesus will return. And the reason we don't know is because Jesus himself said, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father," Mark 13:32. That's why Jesus also said, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh," Matthew 24:44. Listen, nobody knows the day, the time, the hour, the year when Jesus is coming. But we know he is. And so, though we don't know when Jesus will return, what's the Christian to do? The Christian is to hope for it. The Christian is to be looking for it every day. I hope you are praying with the writer of Revelation penned as the last words, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Now, to be clear, we don't know when Jesus will return, but the Bible prophesies that there will be some signs that will be seen before Jesus comes back. One of those signs is taking place right now, today. There's going to be, the Bible teaches, a rejection of truth. Do you realize the Bible is under attack? People are rejecting the truth. They're rejecting God's truth. Now, friend, God wrote this book to mankind so that man can know how he is to live under the kingship rule of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet all over the world tonight, we are seeing a complete rejection of God's word, of God's truth. And whenever the truth of God is rejected, do you know what's going to take place? Well, rebellion is going to reign. Did you ever think you would be living in such a rebellious world as what we are witnessing in the United States of America at this hour, at this time, in this year? I doubt you ever did. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about rebellion, and so here's a passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul wrote, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." God's word teaches that there will be a rebellion, a falling away from the truth, and we're witnessing that now against God, and that only going to increase, and that great rebellion is going to be led by the man of lawlessness himself, and we are seeing that tonight, aren't we? The Bible tells us that there will come a great falling away, and friend, that's happening even as I speak tonight. And this falling away is going to lead the world into the great tribulation period. And during that great tribulation period, 144,000 Jewish evangelists will accomplish in 7 years what the church has not accomplished in over 2,000 years. The gospel will be preached to all nations, according to Mark 13:10. And so that's just a few of the numerous signs, and time will not allow us to tackle all of them, but these signs are given to us to anticipate the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." So we don't look at the signs and say, "Well, you know, this and this has to happen before Jesus can come." Because the truth is, there's nothing left that has to happen for the church to be raptured, for Christ to come for his church. There's prophecy left to be fulfilled for Israel, but not for the church. And therefore, the church should be filled with great anticipation and great excitement because Jesus is coming today. He's closer now than he has ever been. One day soon, our Savior is going to shout, the trump's going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds. Now, I found there are different views that people hold to. And the first is some don't believe any of the signs have taken place yet. So in their minds, Jesus just can't come back yet. But that view goes against Jesus' command to his church to always be watching. Jesus said to his church, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Now another view, and one that I hold to, is that Jesus could come back in any moment. And I hold to it because that's what the Bible teaches. The confusion comes because most folk don't understand the rapture and the second coming. You see, what they do is they roll them all into one event. But the Bible teaches that they are two separate events. When Jesus calls his church out of the world at the rapture, he does not return all the way to the earth. Paul told the church, "We will meet the Lord in the air, and so we will." And when the church is called out of this world, all hell is going to break loose upon this earth. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. And while this period takes place on earth, we, the church, the bride of Christ, will be married to King Jesus in heaven. Oh, it don't get any better than that. And then at the end of the great tribulation period, Jesus Christ is going to come all the way to the earth at the second coming. Now, because there's no prophecy left to be fulfilled for the church should always be ready for Jesus to come at any moment. Are you ready for his return? What's going to happen when Jesus returns? For just a few moments, we're going to look at that, at the different views and disagreements about this. And here's one thing, most of the different views and disagreements center around one passage of Scripture, Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. The Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worship the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Well, it's what people believe about the 1,000 years that causes all the disagreement. Listen again to verses 4 and 5. "And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, were in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." Now, what the Apostle John is describing to us in this passage is what is known as the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and folks fall into three different camps when it comes to this 1,000-year period. And so it brings me to this view, which is the amillennial camp. This camp believes that the millennium is now, right now, and when it ends, Jesus will return. Now, friend, they believe this in error, that the present church age is the millennium. They believe that those who have already died are reigning with Jesus in a spiritual sense, and they hold out that there is no literal 1,000-year period. They believe that the millennium was just a figure of speech used for the time between Pentecost and the return of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus returns, they claim that believers will go to heaven and unbelievers to judgment and the lake of fire. The new heaven and the new earth will begin and last forever. To sum it up, this view holds that Jesus returns, there's judgment, and then we live in the new heaven and the new earth. Well, there's another view. It's the post-millennial camp. This camp believes the millennium is going to come in gradually, and Jesus will return after the millennium. They believe the world is going to get better and better and better, and as the church grows, society will become more and more influenced by the church. You see, they hold out that gradually that the world is going to come around to God and God's word, and then a millennium will begin. This camp believes that Jesus will not physically reign on earth for 1,000 years. Rather, he will reign through the influence of his people. They believe that Jesus will return at the end of the millennial age. And then there will be a resurrection where believers go to heaven and unbelievers go to hell. In the new heaven and the new earth will begin, and Jesus will reign forever. Now, does that make any sense? As you look at the world today, is it getting better and better, or is it waxing worse and worse? Is the church influencing the world to come around to God's word, or has the world influenced the church to move away from God's word? You see, these are good questions we need to ask, but friend, I can tell you this view is false. And then there's one that the Bible teaches. There's a view that is absolutely true, and that is the premillennial camp. You see, premillennials believe that the church is going to be raptured first, just exactly what the Bible says. And after the church is raptured, there will be a great tribulation period that will begin here on earth, exactly what the Bible says. And at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus Christ will return all the way to the earth and will physically reign upon this earth for 1,000 years, exactly what the Bible says. And we, the church, are going to get to rule and reign with him, exactly what the Bible says. And during Jesus' millennial reign here on earth, the devil and his demons will be completely removed from influencing the earth, just exactly what the Bible says. And then after a 1,000-year period, the devil's going to be let loose for a little season, just exactly what the Bible says. That's when the final judgment will come. That which the Bible declares to be the great white throne judgment. It is at that judgment that all of those who have rejected Jesus Christ will be cast into the lake of fire and eternal damnation forever and ever and ever. Just exactly what the Bible says. You see, this is God's word, and this is what the Bible says. So let's just sum it up real quick. Jesus will call his church up to heaven at the rapture. Paul wrote again, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." There is going to be a rapture because the Bible says, in regards to his church, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Friend, the tribulation is going to be a time of wrath. It's going to be a time of great wrath. It will be a time when God's wrath will be poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. And yet, during this tumultuous period, countless millions from around the globe are going to hear the gospel and will turn to Jesus Christ and will trust him, thanks to the 144,000 Jewish evangelists who again will accomplish in 7 years what the church has not accomplished in over 2,000 years. You see, the Apostle John wrote, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." Listen to me, God's great creation, great prize, if you will, of creation was man. Because man was created in the image of God. Think about that. You were created in the image of God. Therefore, no matter how bad things get, God is always going to reach out to mankind in the hope that man will turn to his Maker, turn to God. And the Bible says that many people will be saved during that great tribulation period. So, the rapture comes first, and then at the end of the great tribulation, the Word of God teaches that the second coming of Christ comes. At that time, he puts an end to all the rebellion of man. And at that time, he sets up his millennial kingdom, and that kingdom will last for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, the Bible says, Revelation 20, beginning of verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is what happens when Jesus returns, first for his church and then at his second coming. Now, I know in this wicked world, it seems as if Jesus will never come. But rest assured, family and friends, Jesus Christ is coming again. And one day, very soon, Jesus will throw Satan into the lake of fire along with those who refused his free gift of grace and salvation in him, those who rejected him. You can rest assured, there will be a final judgment, because God's word says so. And so tonight, I want to ask you a very serious question. It's a question that I ask often here on Digging Deeper. But it is the most important question that you have to answer in all of your life. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you realize what you have to look forward to? Friend, all you have to look forward to if you reject Jesus Christ is the final judgment. How sad it would be for you if that's all you have to look forward to. Listen, in your lifetime, you have seen people die. You have seen people pass away. That means that you and I also carry an expiration date. We are not here forever. Where will you be if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You will only have the final judgment to look forward to. How sad is that? And especially in light of the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin debt in full. Jesus Christ died to save your soul. Jesus died to save all souls, of which you and I are one. But in order for us to receive His so great salvation, we must repent of our sin, and we must turn back to Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not a single person who's not a part of the all. We have all failed. We have all sinned. But thanks be to God. There is a God in heaven who loved us. There's a God who created us. There's a God who was willing to send His Son to pay the price for our sins. You ever wonder how much God loves you? That's how much God loves you. He gave His one and only begotten Son for you so that you could have a choice to live eternally with Him. Listen, Jesus said, unless ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Tonight you're standing at the crossroads of life and death. Which way will you choose? Will you choose to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Friend, is your heart so hard that you would actually choose to perish? What's keeping you from accepting God's offer of pardon for your sins by grace through the death and resurrection of His Lord, of His Son, Jesus Christ? I pray tonight that you would not be so foolish as to reject God's gift of grace and salvation in Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you desire to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you simply pray this prayer after me right where you're at. Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Please be my Lord and Savior. Lord, I repent of my sin. Please forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life. Now, if you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart tonight, I want you to know that you're saved. Please write or call at that email address or telephone number, and you let us know of your decision to choose for Jesus Christ, to choose life. Oh, how I pray you have chosen life tonight. We want to get a Bible into your hands. We want to get materials into your hands. And now, oh Lord, would you bless those who've heard the message. In Jesus' name, amen.